Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're here live in Michael's apartment.
Again.
We are here on this hour, second part of being a lifer in China. Last podcast, we spoke about getting engaged, getting married, and now we're moving on to the next big step of, obviously, people's lives, buying a house.
Oh, it's a big step, isn't it, mate?
That's a big step. That's when you know you're a lifer in China, I think.
Yeah, and you realize how big these stages of being a lifer actually are.
Yeah, yeah. In the first podcast, in the introduction, I think I made out we were going to talk about all three steps in one podcast. Obviously, that didn't work out. We realized there was so much to talk about. So we're doing it in three stages. So the next podcast, hopefully you'll hear Jordan's voice as well as ours. And the next podcast, just letting you know right now, we'll be talking about raising a child. So that'll be really exciting.
Well, that's going to be a big one, that is, mate. That's going to be a memorable one because we're, you know, being at the start of this podcast, stage being a key word, we're all at different stages of raising children.
When I came up with this idea, I had the idea of like these three steps, like buying, getting married, buying a house, raising a child, obviously. I think it's important to know there's no set. There's no set way of doing it. Like I've kind of gone the route of married, buying a house, then a kid. You went like slightly opposite, but like the first step was the same, getting married. But then you went buying a house. No, you like kid and house was like kind of the same time.
Yeah, I mean we certainly invested in the house way before,
much earlier than I did.
Well, yeah, but just way before Tina got pregnant as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, unlike you, we've bought our house in a different way as well, which is what we're going to talk about in more detail further on in the cast.
Yeah, I know Jordan's been away in America recently. He's actually back, so I said hopefully you'll hear him in the next podcast. He's bought a house in America. I'm not going to say any more than that because I really hope he can tell us more in the next podcast. But this, so we're solely looking at buying a house in China, but I am looking forward to getting his perspective from America soon.
And I think it's just worth backing up your previous point there about how there is no set way of doing what we're doing. That I think it's pretty hard to plan and organize the future because you never know really what's going to happen.
No, we were talking about this driving home. I've said like. Me and my wife try and make plans, but it's pretty difficult to make plans for longer than a year because you never know what your visa situation is gonna be like. You can follow the rules, but you never know. So, yeah. Anyway, we can crack on. So, Mike's bought a house. Or I'll let Mike tell you listeners in a minute. I'll just quickly my house. It's in my wife's name. She did all the paperwork and stuff. I'm just the resident.
You pay no rent.
No, honestly, like, yeah, I contribute a lot in terms of money, but she works hard as well. My house, we work together, but we did the down payment beginning of this month, October 6th, which incidentally was our wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's a big wedding present. That's an anniversary present, that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That was a stressful day. Getting all the money together.
Like, hi, honey. Do you want some jewelry? Do you want some perfume? Do you want a house?
Yeah. So our house is in Chengyang. It's about like 2 or 3 kilometers from the city center. So
suburbs of the suburbs.
Suburbs. It's nice. I like Chengyang area. So, we can talk about this more, but Mike, do you want to tell us a little bit about your place?
Well, again, Pete mentioned at the start of the podcast, we're in my place again.
We're in it now.
Right now, live in Qingdao City, kicking back.
Yeah, you're certainly kicking back.
Just like last time.
Yeah.
The jealousy will not have gone if you knew how I was sitting right now. But, yeah, man, I mean, the process of actually getting here to this spot where I am right now, it's taken, you know, sort of 2.5-3 years.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy process, but I'm pretty sure you'd say it was worth it, the hard work. And the hard work you've still got to do in the future, the payback. the down payment, the deposit, the mortgage.
Yeah, well, like you, mate, the paperwork is all in Tina's name. So like you, I'm just a resident here. And luckily my wife is kind enough to let me live here.
Yeah.
But we sort of going back to the very, very start.
Mm-hmm.
We it was almost like an impulse buy, to be honest.
Well, who came up with the idea initially? Like Tina, your wife?
Well, Tina's family were talking about, you know, the next step.
Okay.
And that was sort of trying to get a bit more of a sort of permanent residence.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just going from rented apartment to rented apartment to rented apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was always a plan of ours anyway, to really settle down here.
Yeah, it's nice to finally have your own place, somewhere you can call home.
But the way we found this place was kind of by accident. I believe Tina knew someone, or someone in her family knew someone that actually worked at the estate agency.
Okay, okay.
Or certainly worked at the company that mm-hmm. built this neighborhood.
Okay, so interjecting, who what is the company for this complex? Is it Vanka?
I don't know, mate.
I know the place me and my wife have bought. It's built by Vanka, which is supposed to be one of like the top. They're supposed to be the top real estaters in Qingdao.
It might have been. I certainly know as a reputable company, one of the big guns, as it were.
Yeah, like I think it's nice your place. Like I'm inside here now. You've done a good job decorating, which we'll definitely talk more about. The neighborhood outside is nice. So I think the company's done a good job, like with the surrounding area.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what I mean. That's why it was almost like an impulse buy. We kind of found it by accident in a way, because Tina knew someone that worked here, and they invited her to just have a look around.
Okay.
And so it said, "Come and have a look around at the show home. Come and have a look around the building site that it was at the time."
Mm-hmm.
And I think we love the area we're in anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's close to like the center of Lituan.
Yeah.
Not just outside.
And you know, I've got a great affection for Lituan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of we looked at the neighborhood. We could see the way it was going to grow. We could see the potential in it. And we could see that it would be a really nice place to bring up future children.
Oh, for sure.
And we did the mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out we had the money to put down a deposit.
Yeah, that's
at
good.
The time. And we thought, shall we just do it? Shall we just do it? And we ended up doing it. And of course, we didn't buy the house ready furnished. We essentially put down about a 300,000 RMB deposit. I don't know the exact figure, but it was between 300,000 and 400,000 RMB deposit on essentially a concrete box.
Yeah, I think it depends. So that's one of the key questions. What kind of homes are available for? Like, so again, like for I want this podcast to be informative for Chinese people. I want them to understand our view on what it's like buying a house here, but also to give maybe the expats here some key points. So what kind of homes are available to buy in China, in Qingdao?
Well, I think predominantly in Qingdao. If you're looking at moving here and settling down permanently, I think in terms of finance, you're looking at an apartment.
Yeah,
predominantly.
Think, but yeah, even the apartments, I've got maybe like two low. You've got like you've got apartments which are usually between 90 and 100 square meters in size.
That's right.
And then you've got other apartments which are maybe between 100 and 110 or 115 in size.
That's right.
And then if you want to get even bigger than that, then you're looking at villas, but they're incredibly expensive.
That's right, mate, they are.
My wife showed me a photo recently of a villa. It's like, I think the total price is somewhere like a little over 3 million, like 3.8 million, I think. The down payment is 1.5 million RMB, and I was like, whoa.
that's dream money, isn't it? That?
Yeah, yeah.
That's true money.
Do you mind telling us on the podcast? You can say no straight away. What the price you paid per square meter was?
Initially, it was between about 8,000 and 9,000 RMB a square meter.
Okay, that's pretty good. You bought like when was this, 2.5 years ago?
Actually, I don't think it was that long ago. I probably about 2 years ago. Yeah,
you did well buying it then, because we paid a little over 14,000 per square meter.
I mean, there was a reason behind buying so long ago as well. It's because, you know, we sort of studied the market a little bit, mm-hmm. not much, but we knew that it was going to be a sound investment, providing the company building the place was reputable and wasn't going to go under.
Yeah,
we knew if everything worked out well, it'd be a sound investment because, mm-hmm. you know, the prices of property in Qingdao, certainly over the last 2-3 years, have more than doubled.
Well, nearly doubled. You paid 9 and I'm paying 14.
Well, it depends on the area, mate. Because
yeah,
if I'm going by where I am now,
okay.
I could say that my house is pretty much doubled, if not more.
Yeah, so I understand your point.
So it ended up being a sound investment.
Mm-hmm.
Chongyang, it's because it's like a suburb of a suburb. It's going to grow, but probably not as fast as, you know, areas closer to the CBD.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a complicated one because I think once the subway is fully open everywhere, then I think everywhere in Qingdao will rock it.
Well, I agree with that, mate.
My wife was telling me that she was talking to the company Vanke that sold the house, and mm-hmm. apparently Qingdao... this could be wrong, it's just hearsay, but Qingdao's apparently in the process of becoming an autonomous... No, that's not the right word. It's in the process of becoming a special economic zone, I think.
That's right.
It's like, so basically, it's going to have the same status as Beijing and Shanghai, where they're not actually... So it won't be in... it won't actually be classed as Shandong anymore. It'll be its own area.
Yeah, I heard something similar through talking to a lot of staff that work at the Sheraton Hotel,
mm-hmm.
which is where my mum and dad stayed when they were here. The guys at the Sheraton Hotel said even in that area of Li Tuan, they're pumping millions and millions into that area.
Also, it's not going to be immediately, but I think it's like a 5-10 year goal for Qingdao.
I believe it's a 10 year plan.
Yeah,
I believe that in the next 10 years, it's going to become like one of those green economic cities.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to have like its own special powers and stuff for development. It's always had potential, so I'm happy to see it developing. I've been here nearly 5 years, and it's said like Li Tuan has gone from from what students and friends have told me, it's gone from a village to a population of 2 million or something, just Li Tuan, I mean.
Yeah, and you're not wrong.
It's basically the city center of Qingdao. I know people downtown say that's the place to be, and it is an awesome place to be because you're near the sea. But actually, if you look at it geographically, Li Tuan is the center of Qingdao.
And I think now it's got the infrastructure to back up.
Yeah, well, that area, once that
Li
Tuan subway station area is fully complete and it's all modernized, that would be incredible.
It's certainly
because line 3 is open, but once the whole subway station's open, including line 2, I think it's line 2, then
that's right.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, it's literally Li Tuan's the connecting point, isn't it? Li Tuan connects Chongyang with the rest of mm-hmm. Qingdao. Once that line's open and once everything's good to go, it's going to be one of those places where a lot of people are attracted by it.
Yeah, simply, it's going to be like a hub of transport,
A transport hub, and obviously it's, you know, where there is a sort of a CBD within a city, there's going to be mm-hmm. people, which means there's going to be business, there's going to be opportunity. And I've noticed myself that even in the last couple of years, more and more people travel from Shenan up to Li Tuan now.
Well, before you only had the bus, which was like rammed, it was like packed like sardines. Now the subway might be busy, but it's only 20 minutes and you're off. So,
yeah, and they come up here to actually do all of their shopping now.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's a great place.
So, I think if you are an expat listening to this and you're seriously thinking about buying a place in Qingdao, I would say the places to look at now are most certainly Li Tuan and Chongyang.
Yeah, and I've also heard, yeah, so that's one of the questions, where to buy. So you've got Li Tuan is certainly a sound investment, Chongyang is a great investment, but also I think like Hongdao and Huangdao, that they're supposed to be like up and coming, but I think Huangdao should be good, but there's uncertainty over, because you know they're building that, they are or were building the Qingdao Hollywood.
They're still doing
it. But I know there's a lot of uncertainty since Wang Jianlin has been forced to sell his stake in that development.
I didn't know that actually.
Well, I won't go into it too much on the podcast in case it upsets the authorities, but yeah, I've read about it.
Well, I mean, again, as well, depending on what you want, like Huangdao is very much a sort of a tourist beach resort, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
But it's far away. It's like, what, an hour and a half from
here?
Yeah,
it's pretty far. But also, I know the new airport they're building is in Zhao. So I forgot the name of it. Zhaozhou. I think that's the name, Zhaozhou. Which is like another area of Qingdao. Qingdao has so many areas, it's ridiculous. But that's an hour or so outside Qingdao. So the new airport would be good, because it's going to have like that new airport's supposed to have like direct flights to London. But it's not going to be convenient to get to, I think.
I should point out as well, it doesn't really matter if you're interested in buying property in Qingdao, whether it be for business purposes or for living purposes. I would say to anyone that's really taking it seriously, you've got to buy sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Because even to this day, prices are rocketing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so on that point, prices are rocketing. Should people be worried about a potential housing bubble? Are you worried?
I'm not worried, no. I've got a sound investment. I've got a good mortgage, or I should say Tina's got a good mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a safe, a safe, like our financial situation is safe for now.
Yeah, well, I think the local government and the main government as well, they're implementing policies to try to control the housing situation in Qingdao, trying to keep the prices down. Like, I don't think the prices will go down, but hopefully they won't go up much either. They'll remain stable. So I know some of the policies they've introduced is where... Sorry, is your wife calling you?
Sorry, I think we're getting interrupted by my wife there.
That's all right. I don't mind. I'm just wondering who she was calling.
No, she's calling her mum.
Oh, I see.
We'll try and cut this out of the podcast.
We'll try, but I can't promise that.
We'll try. Are you worried about a bubble, mate?
No, I'm not worried about a bubble. Like I said, like I think they're trying to control the housing situation. They've introduced policies where you can't sell on houses for, I think it's 2 years, maybe 3 years. So,
well, yeah, that was the big issue, wasn't it? A lot of people were sort of buying cheap.
Well,
Spending money, doing it up, and then flipping it straight away.
Well, so, yeah, some people were just flipping it before they even do it. They just buy it 6 months later, the price has gone up, then they haven't even decorated, they just sell it on.
As land,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's definitely, I think that's good that they're controlling it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they want people to be buying houses, but they don't want people to be buying houses to then sell them on straight away.
Yeah, yeah, but I know, because me and my wife were debating whether to buy before the National Congress, which is in place now, mm-hmm. taking place now, or buying a house after the National Congress. I said to my wife, "Just babe, let's just do it. Let's get over and done with." Because the policies might help us, or actually, it could flip and hurt us.
Could work against you.
Actually,
yeah.
If we had waited, it would have gone against us.
Well, that's lucky then, isn't it?
Because now they're like, I need to be very careful of what I say. But obviously, some people do things to get around policies. If we'd waited, the government's become even stricter, and they check much more. Like, it's much harder for immigrants. When I say immigrants, economic immigrants or people like even Chinese people from who don't have like a local hukou. So yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you were sensible anyway, because I think there was talk that perhaps after Congress that it might be a good time to buy because it might be cheaper.
Yeah, they introduced policies to do it, but apparently not.
Well, again, it's all hearsay.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
we can't say it's true or not true.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, logical thinking, if you know competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a potential place that you could have today, but perhaps next week or next month, suddenly 10 other people want to buy that same property.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for you and your wife, it wasn't too difficult, I think, purely because I meant like your wife's hoku is in Qingdao.
Well, yeah, no, there is that as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just going to give some quick advice for people who don't have a local hukou. You can buy a house here, don't get me wrong, but you have to go through a lot more red tape and you have to do much more. Like, you need to have 2 years minimum tax. I'm just quoting what I understood before. Maybe the policies have changed. But from before the Congress, you needed 2 years tax records. You needed to have... you need to show your proof. You need to have like education. But I think the big one is just the tax thing. Like, you can work here, but you need to have the tax record.
Yeah, well, without it, you can't get anything in terms of property.
No, my English is shit now.
Yeah, we know.
Do I say contrary or contrary?
On the contrary.
On the contrary, many people believe foreigners cannot buy property in Qingdao, in China. I believe that's wrong. Foreign people can buy property, but it's a hassle because you need to have a tax record of at least a year. I think don't quote me on this. I believe it's a year tax record. You need to go to your embassy and you need to get documents from the UK or whichever country you're from. There's a lot of red tape, so you can do it, but be prepared for hassle.
Be prepared to fill out a lot of paperwork and a lot of proofreading.
Yeah, yeah. So just be wary. Yeah, that's basically what I say.
I just want to go back to the one of the questions you posed earlier. Where should people look to invest?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Lithuan and Chongyang. You know, we say these places probably because we're a little bit biased towards these places.
Yeah, of course. We've lived here a long time.
But I think as well, you got to also take into account that really downtown that we know as downtown, you know, Shenan, Shebei.
Yeah.
Like, I think now, disagree with me, if you will, I think it's getting old down there now, but there's nowhere to actually build any sort of new properties. It's just so crammed.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't see any building going on down there in terms of like new apartments. Everywhere I see is out in a little bit in Loshan, but predominantly is Lichun, Chongyang, Huangdao, Hongdao, these kind of places.
I mean, I'm sure there are like corners here and there dotted around. But
yeah,
I think,
there are.
I think that's really for like people in the know.
Yeah, of course.
That perhaps have got connections that know people that work in the sort of housing development industry.
No, there are, but I think just off the top of my head, the closest place I can think of where I've seen development is, you know, when the new Maikal, Kaimadal, or no, Kai, you know, when the new Web is, for example.
Oh, yes, around there. Well, that's Shebei, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's close to Shebei. It's not quite Shebei, I think. But yeah, I think that's the closest I've seen housing development to Shenan.
So yeah, I would argue that that's closer to Lithuan than it is to Shenan.
Yeah, it's kind of in the middle, but yeah, I get your point.
That's certainly another area of development, but you can just see if you got a blueprint of how, you know, property has developed in Qingdao from 5 years ago to now, you'll see it all head in this direction because there is nowhere else really.
No, you can't.
So yeah, if you are looking to invest, I wouldn't be looking to invest in the sort of Shenan downtown area, you know?
Well, I've just thought of another tip for people buying properties. If you're not superstitious, I would strongly recommend looking to buy on what Chinese people term unlucky floors. because like you save a lot. Me and my wife bought an apartment on the fourth floor. Maybe the Chinese listeners are, oh my God.
The death floor.
But I'm not superstitious. My wife's not superstitious. And it's just a number.
I think even if you are superstitious, but if you
the amount
save,
we save, we saved 60,000 RMB just from having a different floor.
Well, there you go then, man. I think whether you're superstitious or not, if someone quotes you 60, 70, 80,000 RMB, I bet that superstition goes away real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I bet it goes away really quick.
Yeah. It's I think that is actually something to think about. The 14th floor, the 4th floor. Like, obviously, if you choose the 6th floor, the 8th floor, you're going to be paying more. Because those are lucky numbers.
See, I'm on floor 7, so I've got the luck of the 6 and the luck of the 8
surrounding,
and of course 7. In terms of football, 7's a real nice number, isn't it?
Yeah, I know in the UK, many people do like the number 7.
All the best football players wear the number 7 shirt, like Beckham, Ronaldo,
Cantona. Yeah.
So I'm very happy with floor 7.
I think it's good. It's like actually, it's nice being high up sometimes, like really high, you get the view. But the disadvantage is obviously sometimes that, like for example, thinking in terms of utilities, you have to pay more for heating because you're losing a lot of heat at the top.
Well, yeah, I mean, sort of sidetracking a little bit. You're currently renting an apartment on floor 18, aren't you?
Yeah, I've
never lived that high up ever in my life. I think the highest I've ever gone was like 11.
I
mean, floor 18, what's it like up there, dude?
It's nice. Like I said, in the summer, you get like a nice breeze and stuff, which keeps you cool. There's so many superstitions that I'm learning about in China. My wife recently told me that if you live on the 18th floor, it's unlucky unless there are more than 18 floors. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, for example, if the top floor is 18, it's unlucky. But if there's like 30 floors and you live on the 18th floor, that's okay.
But what's
there's more.
What's the justification behind that superstition?
I don't know. It's all about pronunciations. You know how like 4 is unlucky because sir is like death.
Yeah, but 8's a lucky number though, isn't it?
Yeah, but no, but shuba is maybe something different. I don't know, dude. I'm just telling you what my wife told me.
Is that why she wants to move out?
I don't know where she gets these superstitions from.
I think she dreams them up, mate. I think she dreams them up just to keep conversation interesting.
Who knows? It's okay. So, also, you do the down payment. What happens next, dude? What did you guys do once that was done?
Well, I mean, even before the down payment, mate, if you go to sort of any new build, you've got to take into account there are a lot of other people that have probably already bought properties on that land, on that space for development.
Well, literally, so going back to that point, the reason we chose the fourth floor, and I've mentioned it before, is because all the other floors were gone. The only three floors were the 4th, 13th, which is unlucky in Western countries, and the 14th. All the other floors were full.
So I think part of it is You're probably not the first person that's going to have been there. It's probably 1,000 people in front of you. So you're kind of limited in a way to what you sort of can or can't choose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're lucky in this neighborhood. There are like something like 24 buildings across the neighborhood. I believe that includes like the villas and the the rich people houses over there.
Well, I know my place is, imagine an intersection, a crossroad. So there's like 4 communities each community is built on the corner, if that makes sense.
Yeah, on the corner of the crossroad, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I get that.
So ours is that so far they've completed 2. So there's people living in the first 2 communities which have been completed. Now work is like underway on the third one. You can see the building, like the you can see the You can see the outline of it and stuff.
The outline.
You can see like the structure and stuff. We've bought a house in the fourth community,
fourth floor. Bloody hell, mate!
Well, not called the fourth one, but it's just the fourth built.
I get that.
So we have to wait. Our wait is year and a half. Was it similar for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like May 2019 for us.
Yeah, I mean we weren't. At most, it would have been 2 years, bro. Mm-hmm. We probably, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long, really. But going back to the question you asked there, yep. Raph, before you even put the down payment down, you've got to decide, like you said, what building you want to live in, what floor you want to live on, because you said it yourself, they're all different prices.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
You've got to sort of do a bit of research with the guy selling the property as to where your budget falls.
Yes, definitely.
So our budget fell nicely, I think, between the sort of 7th and 10th floor.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be in a building sort of close to the main road as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just for easier access. And actually, we got pretty lucky in that we were able to get a place in the building that we wanted.
Well, this might sound a bit contradictory, but I did hear from the estate agent we were talking to that it's not good. Like, I know the 6th and 8th floors are lucky, but according to him, he said the floors between, the floors between level 6 and 11 are not good because that's where most pollution occurs. Air pollution. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but that's just something I heard.
I mean, dude, we live in China, so, you know, I think wherever you are, there's going to be some form of pollution. It's the same in London, right? If you live in the center of London, you're going to have air pollution.
No, of course. I know there's pollution everywhere, but I meant he said most pollution, like the concentration level is higher between those floor numbers. Why? I couldn't tell you, but...
Then
that's just what the guy said. Unless he was,
I've got no idea either, and it certainly not put me off or Tina. We didn't even hear about that sort of stuff. To be honest,
this is what I heard. I think it was like between floors 7 and 11. But hey ho.
Anyway, we were just going on budget anyway. Found a neighborhood. We saw the neighborhood. We liked it. We saw the plans they had for it, and. Just going from their plans and their idea, they've pretty much built it down to a T.
Yeah, well, I think that's a key point as well. Obviously, look at you mentioned earlier. Look at the showroom and look at the floor plans because they always have the floor plans.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the plans for the actual whole neighborhood as well. Yeah, you know, there's a nice park just out of here on mm-hmm. just over there. You know, within a 2 minute walking distance, there's a real nice lake. That, you know, in summer becomes a really nice sort of oriental garden, you know.
Nice, okay.
They were all in the sort of blueprints for the way they wanted the neighborhood to be built.
All right, I understand.
So, yeah, decide the building you want, decide the neighborhood you want,
mm-hmm.
decide the building number that you want, decide the floor you want, and then...
And also the units, because each building has units.
Yeah, you're right about that too. And then work out... if you can afford it or not, course. And hopefully you'll be able to move forward in the process and get the down payment.
Yeah, for sure.
Or deposit. We might use the word deposit.
Yeah, in the UK,
And you should be good to go.
Yeah.
Now, next question is where our experience differs a little bit. As I mentioned earlier, me and Tina... You know, we got all the paperwork in order. It's all in her name. But we didn't buy a house or apartment, I should say, really, furnished. We bought a concrete box.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's pros and cons of both. So we can talk about your experience first. And then we'll go into mine after.
I didn't have any issues buying a concrete box. I mean, there's risk. There is risk. Because if the building company... had gone under,
mm-hmm.
we'd have been left with, you know, a plot of land in a derelict building. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so we're very lucky choose wisely. Make sure you do research on the building company as well.
Yeah,
before
make sure
you even
make sure it's reputable.
Before you even decide to move somewhere.
Yeah.
But we got a concrete box. And the reason why we opted for a concrete box is because we wanted to literally choose everything ourselves. We didn't want to be sort of tied down as to what we could and couldn't do in terms of decorating.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Furbishing the place.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, you're using the term concrete box, but I know you're not exaggerating because there's no flooring, there's no plastering on the walls. No, there's plaster, but there's no wallpaper or paint. There's no toilet or, like, is there plumbing installed?
The plumbing like the was ready to go, yeah.
Okay, that's done, okay. But yeah, like, there's no socket. Like, you need to do everything. I know you... Because you were talking to me during the process, you had to like choose the fittings, you had to choose where everything would go, like where to put the sofa, where to put the tables, beds, like how to plan out the kitchen, for example,
where the cupboards are going to go, where the sockets are going to go, where the TV is going to go,
every little detail,
where the light fixtures are going to go.
Like, I did kind of want to go that route because you could make it absolutely perfect. So there's no need for extension cables. The plug is right there for the TV. The socket, I meant, or the socket's right there for X, Y, and Z. It's like this. You can make it perfect.
Yeah, I mean, sort of the envision that me and my wife had as to... to what we wanted, you know, it's only a 90 square meter apartment, so we had to be very cautious about utilizing space as well, because we got a lot of stuff, dude.
Yeah, of course
we got a lot of stuff. I think, you know, when you're sort of trying to design and develop a place, especially like this, you've really got to think about these things, you know. You can't just say, oh, we'll put that there and that there and that there. Well, sorry.
Yeah, storage is a key area to think about.
Sorry, your place is too small to do that.
Yeah.
But even sort of taking out walls and stuff as well, we had to choose what we wanted to do with that. You know, because originally the kitchen, for example, was like a separate room.
Right.
You know, but we wanted it to sort of, we wanted...
to flow through.
We wanted one of those really open plan apartments, or as open plan as it could be.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to make a point now before I forget. If you're going to go down the route that myself and Tina chose, without doubt, ensure that your interior designer is a reputable interior designer and someone that knows what they're doing and someone that knows a lot of people in the building industry. Now, I got lucky in the fact that Tina's best friend, Sky, she's Chinese as well. Her and her husband make a living designing and decorating houses.
Yeah, yeah.
So they know a lot of people.
Yeah, that they know everyone you need. They know the plasterers. They know the electricians. They know...
the trustworthy ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that are going to do a good job, not going to let you down, and ultimately help you save money where you need to save it.
Yeah.
So anyone that is looking at building, get in touch with the show. And
yeah, we can pass on details.
We can certainly pass on details about those two and their company, because they really, honestly, mate, they made life so easy for us. Because it was like,
I mean, you just had like weekly meetings with them and stuff.
Well, it was pretty much every day off for about 6 or 9 months, maybe longer than that. It was right. We've got to buy this for the house. We're looking at this today.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, today,
well,
we
that
need
does sound
to...
stressful, but at the same time, just think long term. It's just, it's half a year of your life, then it's somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's stressful. I'd say that it's long-winded. It's draining.
Yeah, that's what I
meant. It's draining. It's not, it can be stressful if things go wrong.
If you disagree.
If you disagree.
I want this.
I don't want pink. Yeah. But these people, like Tina's friends, they really helped us, because you can't decide sort of where and when you buy what you buy, because everything has got a stage, again, using that word stage.
Yeah.
You know, you can't put something in if something's not there.
Right.
So I think it was, for example, the flooring needed to go in like after the electrics or something like that.
Of course.
You know, it's like water's got to go in before the. Or I don't know, like there's stages to everything, mate. Layers to everything.
Yeah.
So actually, what seems like chaos and what seems like such a, you know, a crazy, crazy decision, actually, the thought process behind it is very, very strict.
Right. I see.
Because you don't want anything to go wrong.
Mm-hmm. So now, I was looking for a pen. I want to write a note, but I'll just ask you right now.
Come on in.
Why I'm looking at the flooring and you've got tiles. Yep. Was it your choice or did you think about having wooden flooring?
I thought about wooden flooring, but not interested.
So it was both of you agreed or?
Well,
I'm quite a fan of wooden flooring, but my wife Sophie she wants tiles.
Well, I think if you ask me, tiles. I think, for one, they're easier to maintain.
Yeah, they're clean. Yeah, they're easy to clean.
I think you can choose a pattern that looks more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. I just worry about wood. You know, if you don't treat it, it's going to rot fairly easily.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I was just curious, dude.
I chose tiles because I just, honestly, I like them. I like them. I like the look of them. They're easy to clean.
Yeah, they do look good.
You know, even though me and T have got a little girl sort of rolling around, you can easily put padding over these tiles. So
no, you can, yeah.
Like you can see Izzy's play area, mate.
I'll describe it. They've got like a mattress down, covers, so it's nice and soft, so she's not going to hurt herself. At the moment, she can, like, I think you mentioned she can, like, now she's starting to roll over a little bit.
Well, she can roll, mate, yeah.
Maybe, like, lifting her head. Not crawling yet, but, like, when she can crawl, she's got trying. Somewhere soft.
She's trying.
She's got somewhere. She's trying to crawl, so she's got somewhere soft to do it. Somewhere careful.
So I just like tiles, man, mainly because they are, like I say, easier to maintain, and I think, ultimately, you can, I think they provide more elegance for the room.
Okay.
Now, if you look at my bedroom, it's not wooden flooring, but it's like that sort of fake wood. It's not wood, but it looks like wood.
Okay, I understand.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
And that gives you the same effect of wooden flooring, mm-hmm. again, with the easy maintenance, though.
Well, I know, me and Sophie, like, this might seem a bit out there for Chinese people. They've never seen it, but we're thinking about getting carpet in the bedroom because I love the warm feeling in the winter.
Yeah, Tina loved carpet when she went back to our home in the UK. Like, our home in the UK... Yeah,
carpet's massively popular in the UK.
Is all carpet, yeah. Over here, though, I don't know why.
They have it in hotels, here, but they don't... Apart from hotels, they never have it. I've never seen it in people's homes.
Do you know what, as well? I think that's another reason why I didn't really go for carpet, because I kind of forgot what it was useful for. I forgot what it was like to live with carpet.
Yeah, of course. Michael's wife's staring at us. Right, we're going to take a quick break.
All right, we'll pause it for a minute.
See you soon.
All right, guys, welcome back from... we've had a pretty productive break here. We've had a nice sit down, nice chat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to start... by where we left off on the incredibly fun, exciting topic of carpets. Now, Raf, you mentioned before our little break there that you've been thinking about carpets. Now, this is going to sound like a dumb question,
mm-hmm.
Especially for the expats that are listening, but maybe not for our Chinese listeners that probably have never lived with carpets. What's the benefit of having a carpet in your home?
I would say it's the biggest advantage is in the winter. Like, you wake up, like, even now, like, I've noticed that the temperature's dropped, the air's cold, and the last thing I want to do is I swing my feet out of bed and I place them on the floor and I touch cold tiles or cold wood. It's just having that nice, warm, fluffy feeling on your feet. It's really nice and warm. It's good, I think, in the bedroom in the winter.
I get that. I got a little counter argument for you there, though, mm-hmm. And it's something that always make sure that is available to me, and that's underfloor heating. It's a real bonus to have in any apartment, because if you've got underfloor heating, the cold tiles are actually not that cold.
No, I get that argument, but especially like someone like Qingdao, they don't turn the heating on until mid-November, roughly, because it's government-controlled, which is one thing I'm not a fan of. Like, I'd rather, like in England, you know, like we have central heating. You just turn the heating on when you want it. So obviously, if you turn it on early, you pay more. If you turn it on later, you save.
Yeah,
you can turn it on and off, because not everyone wants just constant heating.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that yeah, a little bit picky there with the with the sort of tile carpet argument. Just buy a nice warm pair of slippers, like.
Yeah, true. That's all right.
I think if you're tired on a morning, putting your foot onto a cold tile is really going to wake you up, isn't it?
True.
It's going to be like a second alarm clock kind of thing. It's like having that cold shower before a cold shower.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I'm sure that was a very riveting conversation for people.
I don't know, man. Carpets. That's when you know you're getting old, though, when you can talk in detail about tiles and carpets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you know you're married and ready to start a family, isn't it?
Oh, you know, for sure.
I mean, all those like young 20-year-olds listening to us now going, what the hell are those old guys talking about?
Those old beans. We've become the guy in the corner with a pint in a newspaper.
We're almost there, mate. It's going to happen soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I was your kid today at school. Mine was a bastard. Like.
So
okay. It will happen to everyone, though. I promise it will happen to everyone. Yeah. You will turn into your dad.
It's all right. I know. So I'm looking around, obviously. Do you mind if I give a quick layout to the people listening? You've got like...
As long as you make it sound good.
You've got two bedrooms, like a nice master bedroom. They've got like a second bedroom with under storage, like under the mattress, which is like a real clever idea. You can talk more about it. Bathroom. Actually, the thing I'm most jealous of is your bathroom, because you've got a hot tub. Like, it's like a bath with a built-in hot tub.
It is. It's like one of those spa baths.
Yeah, it's real nice.
A jacuzzi
I'm
bath.
So jealous of that. You got like a last, and then we're sat in the living room with like a kind of little open area next to the window. You've got your washing machine. You've got the clothes hangers, which go up and down, which is a good idea, I think.
That's a domestic area over there, and of course it's. That part actually there, you know, because I've always said...
It's like a play area.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been like a sunroom or a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
But I sort of had to make a conscious decision. Do I think about myself or do I think about my baby?
Yeah, I think if you turn into a balcony, the apartment might feel smaller.
Oh, for sure, it would feel a lot smaller, mate. But it would be a balcony, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true. You know what I mean? True. And then obviously you've got like a nice kitchen. I'm a big fan of your oven setup. You got like an oven, built-in toaster section, microwave, all like one sleek long line.
It's good. With the dishwasher next to it as well.
Yeah, dishwasher. That's something many Chinese people have not encountered before. A dishwasher.
I'd say if you're like me and you don't like doing chores, you got to get things in your home that are going to make chores easy, and a dishwasher is a must.
Yeah.
Think about how many dishes that you'd cook for dinner. Like, say your mother-in-law comes over to yours for dinner.
Yeah.
She's going to cook about 10 or 12 dishes, isn't she? Right? And there's going to be about 14 pots and pans on the stove.
Yeah, true.
That's a lot of hand washing, that, isn't it?
That's the one thing I... How many hobs does your stove have?
It's got two.
Two. That's the one thing. Like, I would love to get one with four, but I'm not sure how readily available they are in China. Like, I think most people in England have four hobs. Or we're saying hobs. For the Americans, I probably think, what's a hob? It's like a gas ring.
It's a stove.
Yeah, well, the stove is the general thing. But the stove has four. In England, we usually have four gas rings. Here, they have. In China, most people have two.
Well, I mean, to be honest, again, I think I'm so fucking lazy. I don't really do a lot of cooking, and Tina and her mum, who do a lot of cooking, were happy with that. That's all they needed. So.
Yeah, exactly. I know my wife is excited for us to get an oven, because then she wants to start making cakes and baking lasagnas and cooking like pizzas in the oven, because I will use an oven a lot when I finally get one. Well, I've got one now, but it's like one of these small portable electric ovens, and they're okay for very basic use, but you can't like fit a turkey in there or something for Christmas, or a big pizza. So
oh yeah, man. And again, you know, like I said, this place I've got, it's not a big place, it's not a massive place, it's very homely. And again, mm-hmm. you know, four gas rings, four hobs just wouldn't fit,
yeah, of course,
in
of
that
course.
Anyway. And again, if you think about the internal mm-hmm. piping,
yeah,
I think it's only set up for two anyway.
Ah, I see, dude. No, that's cool. I know with my place, obviously, it's mine's like what we would call it, semi furnished. So the flooring's done, the sockets, the lighting. We need to choose some lights, but not many. But basically, we just need to buy all the furniture. So tables, there are some internal cupboards built. We need to choose like the sofa, tables or chairs. The kitchen will be complete, but it's minus like the Western kind of stuff that I want, like a dishwasher and an oven. So I'm gonna try and find a company that can install an oven under the stove.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna try and find a company to put a dishwasher under the sink.
Yeah, nice,
it depends
nice.
On the piping. So
yeah, I mean, that's what you've got to take into account as well, because it may be an awkward job to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, our kitchen's a little small, but I'm happy. It's okay.
And of course, you've got to find a nice TV.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get like a curved one. Get it all out.
Oh, you see, I looked at these curved ones, man, and I don't know if it's because I wear glasses or because my vision just mm-hmm. isn't good, but when I was looking at this curved TV for a couple of minutes, and it made me feel dizzy, man. Like, it was real trippy. It was kind of like being drunk.
Yeah, like, well, me and Sophie were joking about it. We were thinking of, like, getting, like, a projector on the ceiling, like...
Oh, that's popular, though. Tina's friend's got one of those, and it's actually really, really good.
Yeah, you get that massive thing, just all... The whole wall just, like, a projected image.
You'd have to... I think if you're going to watch it in the daytime, though, you'd have to keep the curtains closed, like...
Yeah, for sure.
Because it probably would get affected by sunlight pretty badly.
Yeah, true.
But you can get you can have like a TV on the wall, and then say at nighttime the projector can sort of come down out the roof.
Yeah, maybe some. I don't know. It's just a joke, but it would be quite sweet in a way to do.
Built-in surround sound and stuff as well.
Yeah. So obviously, how do you mind talking about costings? Just approximately.
Yeah, I mean, I think. Well, I sort of like the more luxury mm-hmm. items, sort of more middle to high end stuff. So, me and T, we spend the big chunk of money on furbishing our house. But this was everything though, like literally everything from the smallest socket to the oven to the mm-hmm. bed to TV to the AC, you know, the underfloor heating, all of that. We ended up spending around 300,000 RMB for it.
That's not too bad, really. Yeah, you think about that's everything. Flooring, painting, wallpaper, it said all the furniture.
Well, you have to as well, mate. There's a lot of hidden labor. Costs. There's a lot of hidden costs mm-hmm. that you've got to take into account, because the way you design something first, it will never be that actual design.
Right.
So sometimes you'll need to spend more money, sometimes you'll need to spend less money. So it's actually quite hard to budget perfectly for what you want and what you need.
But like, I think you, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you told me that the people who do all the work, all the building work and stuff inside, you don't pay them per hour, or it's just, you pay them for the finished job, so it takes them X amount of time. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, when they've done their job, you pay them whatever you agreed to pay them, basically. it's not like an hourly rate. It's almost like a sort of contract based agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't know really much about that though, because that's what Tina organized. She did all that.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously, I'm gonna try and get quite high end stuff. But is there any way you can have like quality but save money?
Yeah, by knowing a good interior designer
mm-hmm.
that knows people who are selling what you need.
Yeah, yeah.
For your home. So like, sort of, the sofa, the coffee table, the TV table, the bed, you know, even the people who built the cupboards and the breakfast slash breakfast bar slash bar there.
Yeah, yeah.
They were all built by people that Tina's friend knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do like, I like that you feel like Mike's got this kind of like bar, kind of like where people are like, you know, I know in the future I want to get some stools for it.
I'm going to get some bar stools.
Bar
definitely.
Stools. You've got like a small wine rack built into like this cupboard. Your fridge is real nice as well, like a real big fridge.
Oh yeah, man, that's
double doors for like the fridge, double doors for the freezer.
Oh yeah, it's nice having one of those.
I'm definitely getting a massive freezer.
All those years living in rented apartments have got like a tiny shelf freezer, like
one drawer, two drawers.
You get four ice creams in there and it's full.
Yeah, no, like we do like our frozen food from Metro.
Oh yeah, and plenty of room for cheese now as well.
Yeah, yeah, your fridge and freezer is awesome. Uh-huh. Okay, so what did you prioritize when styling your home?
In what sense, mate? What, the layout or the decoration?
Yeah,
obviously
everybody would love to spend top dollar on everything, but people can't. So what for you, what was the most important thing? You said like, I must have this. If you can get like this other thing, if you can get it, great. If not, it's not going to ruin my life.
Okay, well, I wanted nice flooring.
So that was high up on the list.
Yep, I wanted a nice looking floor, because I think no matter where you go, the first thing people look at is the floor.
Yeah, they judge you on it, yeah.
Because, stupid as it sounds, you've got to take your shoes off, haven't you?
Yeah.
And what do you see when you take your shoes off? Yes. A nice, okay, clean, luxurious floor, or something that looks like a cheap, tacky piece of shit, like.
Yeah, okay.
So that was a big priority for me, flooring. I knew I wanted a bathtub.
Yeah, okay.
Not really, because, you know, in England, right, I never really had baths.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just always take showers. But after knowing that I couldn't have a bath for all these years, the idea of coming home every evening,
yeah, and being able to
lie in a tub. Like, we go to Mooching.
Yeah, yeah, the Korean sauna.
And that's always really nice. But you got to share that experience with loads of other naked men, right?
Yeah, who are probably peeing in the water.
You know, so a bath. I just really wanted a jacuzzi bath.
Yeah.
Because I'm all into the sort of...
Is it easy to clean, though?
Yeah, real easy to clean. Real easy to clean.
Okay.
Of course, I needed a comfortable sofa, because I spent most of my time on the sofa. Now, I'm not going to tell you how comfortable my sofa is. Raffaele, you're going to tell us how comfortable the sofa is.
Well, I can't really describe it in words. I can just describe it in the sounds. Just like, if I'm not sat there now, I'm sat on the sofa, but not in the spot. Not in the, like, it's like an L shape. I'm not on the corner. So if I sat on the corner, I'd be probably groaning. in a good way, moaning. That's good.
It is the sort of sound you'd make whilst with your wife.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
So definitely comfortable sofa.
The wallpapering and stuff. The wallpaper, was that?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really like huge on the list.
Huge issue for you,
because there's just so much. Sort of, you can get a wallpaper pretty much any design you want.
Yeah, of course.
The colour scheme, though, was pretty...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah, the colour scheme.
I mean, for me, I need colour schemes to be consistent.
Yeah, so yeah, I see you've chosen quite a light colour scheme. It's like whites and creams.
White, creams, golds.
Yeah.
But with, I think, enough darker colours to bring it all together.
Yeah, I know that like the sofa was intentionally a bit darker just to give it a bit of, like, not too much contrast, but like I said, like different colours.
Because I remember your wife, when she saw it before it was finished, she was like, oh, it looks like an office.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, she said, I'm pretty sure she said, it just looks like an office space. And I was like, oh, well, can't fucking have people thinking that. So... That's why I sort of intentionally made sure that the sofa was
darker color,
and that's why I chose this sort of wallpaper on here to give balance to the whites.
Yeah. Okay.
Bearing in mind as well the lights, all the lights we've got, I've got sort of separate.
Separate settings.
Separate settings, so they can change color as well. Yeah.
Color and brightness. So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's certainly a good idea. Isn't it like you've also got the... like? Does your wife, Tina, control it on her phone? The settings?
The air conditioner, she can control on her phone. The door, she can control on her phone.
Yeah, it's like a fingerprint lock.
Well, it's fingerprint lock, but if we're not at home and someone rings the doorbell, she can talk to them.
Yeah, she can see it through on her phone.
Well, she can see them, but she can also talk to them.
I see, yeah, as
well. Sorry, we're not in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come back later or something.
Yeah, or if it's your family coming, well, I'll let you in.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, so we could be in Gmore, for example, and someone could knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and...
she'd get an alert.
It'll get live video feed.
Yeah, yeah.
And she can talk to them as if she's at the door.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Which is in Gmore. But yeah, fingerprint lock. Mm-hmm. Never expected to have one of those, but it just, I don't know, it just feels cool, man.
Yeah, it feels cool.
You're going to have some gadgets, haven't you? That's like one of those.
Yeah, for me, like either a fingerprint lock or maybe like a code lock.
But beyond that, the only other sort of priority, like really the only priorities, deep down, Raph, deep down, the only things that I need as a man,
right, TV. Is
big-ass TV, which I got, 55-inch. Comfy-ass sofa, comfy-ass bed, and like bath shower.
Yeah, that's one thing I think that's beds, it. Like them, because traditional Chinese mattresses are very thin.
They're
like rocks.
I know a lot of expats that have come here and actually said, well, you know what? I actually really like them. I've grown to love them.
No.
I, for one, have not. I can't sleep on something that feels like cardboard or wood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally understand. No, I'm looking forward to getting like a real comfy mattress that just sinks, that just molds to your body shape.
Oh yeah, I think that's, I believe we got a memory foam mattress.
Memory foam, that's the believe word, yeah.
It's memory foam, but I'm telling you, dude, it's
I know when my wife came back to my home, for example, in England, my parents' home, lying on the mattress, it's like, this is so comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to get up, man. Yeah. Really hard. Like, even Tina's mum has sort of been converted a little bit, because Tina's mum's usually all about the hard mattresses. But yeah. I noticed in her bedroom, she's got a bit of a thicker mattress now, and she enjoys lying down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know for me, like, I think we're all very similar. Like I said, TV, I definitely want to get like a nice oven, a nice bed.
I think you've got to bring it all together, though, Raph. I'm going to go back to it because I said it before. You've got to have the right color scheme, dude.
Yeah, I think that is certainly very important.
Because you can have all the luxurious items in the world, but if they don't look right,
mm-hmm.
if they're not aesthetically pleasing on the eye, doesn't matter what you've got.
Yeah.
Because I wanted, the reason why we've gone bright is because obviously during the daytime, we want a nice bright place to be.
Then
in the evening with the settings on the lights, you can make it feel very warm, very homely.
Yeah, I understand. Now, there's a couple of things I'm very excited for in my home. Like so in the living room, we're going to have like floor to ceiling windows.
Oh, that's nice.
So
yeah,
there's like a lot of lights coming in, which I'm excited for. And our elevator is private, so it's like I use the electronic card.
Yeah.
And then when the elevator door opens, I walk straight into my apartment.
See, that's really nice as well.
So it's a private elevator, basically.
I mean, that's something I'm jealous of, actually. Like, your new place is going to look stunning. One thing to mention, though. The one thing I didn't have any choice over was the windows.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't control that.
Yeah, I understand.
And even though we don't have a private elevator, we're lucky on our floor, there are three apartments, ours being one.
Yeah.
There's another apartment in the middle and one on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But on our side, it feels like we've got our own sort of extra personal space.
Yeah, I've noticed you sometimes keep the pram or pushchair out there.
And it's far enough away that no one else is going to use that area.
Yeah, yeah.
And the elevator comes right to
yeah,
that
exactly.
area. So
I've seen it, yeah.
It kind of feels like
no,
that
kind of,
private
yeah. I don't know. Mine opens
well.
And it walks in. The elevator opens into this kind of meeting kind of room.
The reception area.
Reception area. So, yeah, like so the rented place I've got is very minimal because, like, it's all little things. Like, there's nowhere to hang my coat up when I walk in the door. Like, nowhere to put my shoes. Like, we could buy stuff, but I'm thinking, well, I'm just sucking it up for a year or so, and then I can just, everything will have its place.
Yeah, man, if you know you're not going to be there for long as well, you don't need to, like, the worst thing you want to do is sort of kind of like what me and Tina did. We got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And believe it or not, most of the stuff is necessary.
No, of course.
Especially, you know, moving. Like, we moved here when Izzy was, like, you know, pretty
yeah,
much
just
newborn.
Like 1 or 2 months.
You know,
yeah.
Like, a couple of, you know. So we had a lot of stuff. If you're going to move into a new place, try and have as little as possible and build on that. Because otherwise, moving day becomes hard.
Well, I think that's another key point we can discuss is moving. Like, I would recommend using moving companies.
Oh, yeah, without doubt.
But you can get, like, different deals. Like, some companies will... You can pay less, but they only do the driving. They transport it. You have to do the lifting and packing. If you pay a little bit more, and I'm not saying not much, just 100 RMB, they'll transport it. That's it. If you pay maybe 300 RMB, they pack it. They could pack it for you if you want, but I think most people would be uneasy with them going through your private stuff. You pack it, but then they will transport it to the van. They'll unpack it and take it off the van and pull it in the elevator up to your apartment.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did.
Yeah, yeah. That's only 300 RMB, I think, or
I mean,
3 or 4.
Between
so.
3 and 5, depending on the size of the van you need or truck that you need.
I would strongly recommend that to people in Qingdao if you're moving.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it's good.
Well, it goes without saying, really.
Mm-hmm.
It goes without saying that's what you need.
That's okay. Well, I think maybe we're approaching the end of the podcast.
Is it that time already? Is it me?
Well, it's 11:30. Obviously, it's not a very long podcast, but this is a bit of a short and sweet one, maybe.
Well, it's certainly... I'm hoping there are going to be a lot of questions asked by listeners on this topic.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, so I would just say, obviously, if you've enjoyed this podcast, it's not too long, I think, so please send us your comments on WeChat, or if you listen to it on if you listen to this on the Apple Podcast app, for example, you can email us at the expatriatechinatalk@yahoo.com. So you can email us questions. Hopefully in the next podcast in this kind of theme, being a lifer in China, will be about raising a child. So this should be a very, very big topic. So hopefully Jordan can pitch in on that and also give his American view on buying a house.
And I think you're mumbling there because you're just thinking about what your new home is going to look like.
Maybe.
Trust me, man. It is more stressful than you think.
Yeah, well, hopefully we won't have as much stress as you did because some of it's already done. But I'm looking forward to it. Like once I'm moved in, Like, it's the stress, but it's worth it long term.
Just get into it as soon as you can, man. Get into it as soon as you can. Get as much as you can that you can physically do in that sort of time that you have. Because honestly, the sooner it's done, the more relaxed you're going to feel.
Talking about moving as soon as possible, you just made me think of another point quickly. It's about like how to air out the apartment.
Yeah. Well, they say if it's a new build, like me and Tina, then you've got to give it, they say, 6 months to a year. We let ours air out for about 3 months mm-hmm. after it was complete.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, through the process of it being built, windows were open all the time.
Yeah, of course.
We hired a company that comes in and has got a special sort of chemical spray.
Right.
That they spray around the apartment
mm-hmm.
That basically airs it out for you.
Yeah, yeah. So
I believe your wife recommended it, actually.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Instead of being 6 months, it's more like just 2 months, two or three.
Well, a week.
A week. Oh, whatever. A week. Yeah.
You air it out for 3 months, get this company in, they spray it, and, you know, a week later, 2 weeks later, you can move in, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's no issues. We've got two air purifiers in here, and after it being aired out, those purifiers were on the green light, which means everything's clean. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you don't have a water purifier built into your kitchen.
It's already in the. We've got a tank.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of purifies the water.
Okay, so it's drinkable.
I don't know. I mean, it's clean, but I don't know if I'd drink it though.
Well, I'm gonna say I know, like in Jordan's home now, like where like it belongs to his wife's parents, they've actually got the tap. Actually, they've got like the built-in purifier, so you can actually drink it. It's drinkable water.
Oh, I don't think we've got one of those yet.
Yeah, yeah. That's certainly one thing I would look into as well.
But we just get these big ass barrels for like 6 RMB, man.
Oh no, yeah, no, I meant everybody gets those, but I meant like if you have it attached to your sink or something.
Well, I honestly, mate, I've stopped drinking tap water in China. Well, I never drank tap water in China anyway.
I've never drank a single drop of tap water in China.
Yeah, same here, man. Same here.
But like if I had a purifier, I would. I think about it, but
I'm not sure I would even if I had a purifier. It might make a difference, it might not, but also going back to helping out airing out a new apartment after mm-hmm. after it's been decorated, if you're looking for cheap and cheerful ways, you can use onions.
Really?
Yep, you put onions in the cupboards and that sucks up all the
okay.
all the dirt and the dust and the crap from the building. And also you can get what's it called, it's like carbon,
yeah,
it's like
special carbon, yeah,
it's like a carbon metal,
okay,
that you can sprinkle around the home that cleans it as well. I think it's, yeah, I can't remember the chemical.
Yeah, it's just super absorbent.
But you can buy that real cheap on Taobao as well. So
yeah, okay, nice,
cool. Anyway, dude.
Anyway, yeah,
it's been as always a very, very,
it's been a pleasure.
Very good cast with you. I already know that there's a shitload of things that I'm going to think about.
Yeah, it's always
what I should have said after the podcast.
Yeah, I'll have things pop into my mind.
That's why I hope at some point we come across this topic again. I hope we get questions and that we have answers for on the social media.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you will. So I'm going to say, yeah, thank you for listening. You can find us, as always, on WeChat, Leisure, the Apple Podcast. Thank you so much, and peace out.
Yeah, thank you guys for listening. This is Mike signing off as well. Have a good one.
Nice one.